Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. This is why we've come, dear Lord. We are ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but your word will forever last. God, we stand now ready for your word. We pray, God, that all that we do and all that we say will be pleasing in your sight, that it will bring glory and honor to you. May your word find fertile ground in our hearts and minds so that we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Who is the greatest fighter that you have ever known or heard of? Depending on your age, sport that you have an affinity for, you might say a boxer, a martial artist, a wrestler, a mixed martial artist, a soldier. It all depends. Some of you would automatically say somebody like Joe Louis if you're older. If you're not as old, maybe Muhammad Ali. If you're young and don't know any better, maybe Mike Tyson. Some of us who were shocked when we got the word that he died would say Bruce Lee, because for my generation, nobody could beat Bruce Lee. But these mixed martial artists today are something else. And I think even if you grew up as a fighter, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or confess anything today, right? But some of us grew up in an environment, in an atmosphere where you had to be a fighter. You didn't necessarily have to win all the fights, but you had to fight well enough to keep folk off of you, to let them know if they were thinking about picking on somebody, that was not the person to pick on. There were some easier victims to find. Even the Bible talks about fighting when it refers to spiritual leaders, pastors, and the scriptures say in both Titus and in Timothy that pastors, spiritual leaders, should not be pugnacious, the King James would say, that you would not have a quarrelsome spirit, that you would not be violent, that you would not be a fighter. And we've worked hard, at least some of us, to kind of tone down our temper, right, so that we don't come across that way unless we absolutely have to. I remember warning some people about my anger. I got it from my dad, and I've worked hard to bring that under control with the help of the Holy Ghost. But I would tell people, now there's a side of me that I don't even like, and we want to make sure we keep that side down. So what would you say if I said today, you got to start fighting again? What would you say if I said, as a Christian, as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus, he expects you to do some fighting? See, I submit to you today, my brothers and sisters, that some of us have worked so hard not to be fighters that we have failed to realize that the call to fight is part of the Christian life, and it's not fighting that's the problem, it's who we are fighting. In our text today, I want to help you look at what I believe may be the most important fight you will ever have in your life. It's a fight that is ongoing, it's a fight that is always present, and it's a fight that God gives you and gives me the power to win. I want to talk today from the thought, how to win the fight against your strongholds. How to win the fight against your strongholds. Now, for somebody under the sound of my voice, you may say, we're dealing with strongholds again? Absolutely. And here's one of the reasons the Spirit of God put this on my heart so strongly this past week. It's not only because it's one of the seven rhythms, that's important, but what I've come to realize is that many people confuse content and conviction with a change in conduct. And some of you think because you have identified the problem, now the problem is automatically going to be solved. Some of you have identified at least one stronghold in your life, and you've talked about it, you've cried about it, you've prayed about it. But is there anybody in here who has recognized that strongholds don't leave so easily? Is there anybody who has recognized that, you know what, man, that stronghold came back in the door, showed back up, and didn't even ask for permission to come back into my life? And part of the reason is because while we have experienced the momentary victory over a stronghold, we have not fought it strong enough to vanquish it, to destroy it, to remove it once and for all, to get it out and to make sure it stays out. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Three things I want you to see today. But let's begin at Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13 says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son." Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, reminds us that once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were delivered from the penalty of sin. He also wants you and I to understand the theological truth that one day when we close our eyes on this side and open our eyes in glory, we will be delivered from the presence of sin. But until that time, we have to now go through an ongoing battle so that we can live and overcome the power of sin. And that's where strongholds come in. It's not so much of what we have been delivered from in terms of the penalty, and it's not being delivered from the presence eventually, but how do we overcome the power in our day-to-day living? If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Here's the first thing I want you to see if you're going to win the fight against your strongholds. Number one, realize you are in a fight for your spiritual well-being every day of your life. You are in a fight for your spiritual well-being every day of your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 3, the ESV translation reads, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." The Corinthians judged Paul's ministry by its outward appearance. They judged it based on what they did and what they saw and what he did and what he said. And Paul says to them and says to you and to me, that we are in a daily battle. Look at what the text says. "For though we walk in the flesh," present active participle, present tense, walking literally just going about in our day-to-day activities. He says, though we walk in our flesh, we walk in this physical body, we walk in this place that has not yet been transformed from corruption into incorruption. He says, though we walk in this, we are not waging war according to the flesh. We are not in a battle according to the flesh. Now, I told you that walk is in the present tense and that war is in the present tense, which means we are every day in our flesh in a fight. We're in a battle. And Paul says we are not in a battle according to the flesh, but we are in a battle according to the Spirit. Now, if we are in a battle according to the Spirit, but we're fighting in the flesh, guess what? We will never be victorious because we are fighting on the wrong front and we're fighting to win the wrong victory. See, somebody in here, you need to realize you are in a fight and the enemy is fighting you whether you realize you're in a fight or not. Some of you don't want to fight. Some of you say, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover. But here's what I've learned. You don't have to be a fighter or in a fight determined by whether or not you want to fight. Matter of fact, if you are not a fighter and you don't want to fight back, you can still be in a fight, just get ready to get beat up. And for many of us, we can't walk in the victory that God has given us because the enemy is fighting us and we don't want to fight back. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, there it is, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's who we're fighting against. Look at A. Realize you're in a spiritual fight with the devil. You're in a fight with the devil. You can sit there and say the devil's not real. Okay, keep on saying that. Then I guess you're just getting hit by an imaginary force. Because the devil will come at you. He will attack you in thought, word, and sometimes in deed. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Look at B. Realize you're in a spiritual fight with your flesh. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Let's read it together. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Every sin that you attempted to commit, every sin you do commit, falls into one of those three categories. It's either the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Everything that comes up in your life that is designed to take you away from God falls into one of those three categories. You are in a spiritual fight with your flesh. Look at C. Realize you're in a spiritual fight with your past. You're in a fight with your past. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14 says, I press toward the mark, right? Because we're in a battle with the past. Here's the problem. When you are in a battle with the past and you try to go back to the past, you cannot successfully walk in your present or your future. Because you can't win a battle in the past. Because you can't change anything in the past. Somebody that's watching right now, I'm just feeling the Lord leading me to encourage you today. You've got to let some things go if you're going to move forward in your life. Yeah, because too many of us, we're still trying to get resolution from the past. And watch this. We have put the healing from our past in the hands of the people we think have done us wrong in our past. And because they won't own it, because they won't forgive it, because they don't see it, because they don't feel it, we still stuck back there in our past. And God says, you can't do anything about that. You've got to forget those things. And you've got to move forward so that you have a better today and a better tomorrow. Here's the second thing if you're going to win the fight against your strongholds. Number two, realize in order to win a spiritual fight, you must rely on spiritual weapons. If you are going to win a spiritual fight, you've got to rely on spiritual weapons. For the weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Paul wanted them and you to know you cannot win a spiritual battle fighting with carnal weapons. Listen, you can use some choice language if you want to. You can get frustrated, upset, mad. You can hit, punch holes in walls. You can whatever you want to do. None of that is going to give you spiritual victory over the enemies that are coming at you, because they are coming at you on a spiritual level, listen carefully, even when it's a physical manifestation. So many times we get mad at people when we don't see the enemy that's using the people. So I had a situation happen here years ago. When I got here to Good Hope, there was a lady that was mad at me. She didn't like me riding or walking. I didn't have a chance to get her mad at me, Deacon Martin, because I had just got here. Literally, I had just got here. But she was upset at the process. And, man, she's calling folk out of their names, and she's threatening folk and all this. And so I was in a meeting, and we were sharing some things with the leaders, and there was a little conflict, not necessarily conflict. It was just some dates that were not aligning. And so I made the statement. I said, listen, I said, let's get together again, and we'll work out, you know, these conflicts in the calendar. And as I was walking out, she grabbed me by the arm. She grabbed me by the arm. She said, you think you run something around here, don't you? You don't run nothing. And I looked at my arm and her hand, and I looked back at her, and I looked down at my arm again. And y'all, can I tell y'all, man, there were so many things that flashed through my mind. She wasn't a big woman. And so I thought to myself, I said, now if I snatch my arm from her and she holds on, I'm going to throw her. And then the word's going to be out that the pastor at Good Hope, new pastor at Good Hope, hit a member. You know what I mean? And so I'm looking, and as I'm looking at her, it was like I saw her face shift. And I saw the devil behind the mask. And when I saw the devil, I started laughing. Now, you know that didn't help the situation at all in her mind, because I'm laughing because I looked down and I was like, oh, Lord, have mercy. Woo, look at here. What's so funny? Well, devil is, you slick devil, but you ain't getting me. And she finally just took her hand off my arm and I walked on out. But I saw the devil behind the face. And y'all, sometimes you got to give the devil credit for what he deserves credit for. Because his objective is to seek, right? To do what? Kill, destroy, steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. And he'll use whomever allows themselves to be used by him. You got to fight with spiritual weapons. Let me give you three spiritual weapons. One, A, the word. The word. Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 105. Matter of fact, you just read Psalm 119. There's so much in there about the word. But in verse 105, the text says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. The word. That's why you spend time in the word as a disciple of Jesus. That's why you memorize the word. That's why you have memory verses. That's why you are to meditate on the word, because the word will give you spiritual power. Look at B. Second weapon, prayer. Prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let's read it together. Pray without ceasing. Men and women ought always to pray and never stop. Luke 18:1, there's a parable that Jesus tells about the power of persistence in praying. You need to pray. What happens when we pray? When we pray, we acknowledge who we are not, and who God is. When we pray, we seek divine assistance. Watch this. Not to get what we want, but to become who God wants us to be. You got to learn how to pray. Because there's some stuff and some people you're not going to be able to overcome and deal with without prayer. Look at C. Praise. Praise is a weapon, a spiritual weapon in our warfare. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. 150th division of Psalm says, let everything that has breath, verse 6, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise is a weapon in our warfare. When we learn how to give God praise, praise not only encourages your spirit, but praise will confuse your enemies. Somebody said, how can it confuse the enemy? Because when the enemy has done all that they can to you, and they think they got you, and they know they got you down for the count, and they walk in and they see you praising God, they trying to figure out, wait a minute, how did that happen? They should be crying. They should be throwing up their hands. They should be ready to give up. And they're praising God, because praise of God encourages you, reminds you to know who God is and to know what God can do. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, realize in order to win a spiritual fight, you must commit yourself to using divine power to destroy the strongholds in your life. You've got to use divine power to destroy the strongholds in your life. Everybody say destroy. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against us, against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey God. Now, I want you to notice something. Our weapons are not carnal. They are spiritual, but they impact and affect what we do in our flesh. So he says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. A stronghold is raised against the knowledge of God, against the truth of God's word. It becomes a fuel for an argument that God is standing against. So when we walk in, for example, rejection, that stronghold of rejection is an argument sometimes we make to ourselves that is not in alignment with the knowledge of God in terms of who we are and what God wants us to be. And he says, you got to destroy a stronghold. You got to take a stronghold out. You remember them old cowboy movies? When the fella would get in a fight and they knock a fella down and then they go over and pick him up and then knock him back down. And I'm saying to myself, why are y'all picking him up? Like, if you knocked him down, I'm just thinking, y'all don't judge me. I'm just saying, if you knocked him down, man, kick him. Stomp on him. Dude, why am I going to pick you up? I'm going to take energy to pick you up to knock you back down. And then pick you up to knock you back down. You watch these movies and, man, a person tries to kill somebody. And then the person lets him live. And then they're surprised when they try to come back and kill him again. Like, what? Now, some of y'all are chuckling, some of y'all are laughing, some of y'all are praying for me. Here's all I'm saying. A stronghold needs to be taken out. You don't play with it. You don't negotiate with it. You don't compromise with it. Paul says you've got to destroy your strongholds. And you can only do it with divine power. Now, somebody said, what is a stronghold? Let me define it for you again. A stronghold, literally this word means a castle or a fortress or a monument, a place that is protected, encased, and it's an area of your life where the results of sin have taken root in your spirit. So much so that it affects who you are, how you think, and what you do, and it continues to give Satan power in that area of your life to cause you to live below God's will for your life in your thoughts, words, and deeds. Let me give it to you again. Go back on YouTube and get it later on. A stronghold is an area in your life where the results of sin have taken root in your spirit. You say, who sinned? Typically, it's a sin that's been committed against you. And the result of that sin that has been committed against you takes root in your life in an unhealthy way. It takes root in your spirit. It affects who you are, how you think, and what you do, continuing to give Satan power in that area of your life. And it causes you to live below God's will for your life in your thoughts, words, and deed. Paul says the only way you're going to defeat, the only way you are going to destroy a stronghold is by divine power, is God's power. See, if you defeat it but don't destroy it, it's going to come back. Because the defeat is not permanent, destruction is. You say, what kind of power? Divine power. It's that word we know, right? Dunamis, dunamai. Powerful, used to describe the innate, unconquerable power of God. It is divine power. It's not our power. It is divine power. And can I tell you the mistake that some of us have made as we have identified our strongholds? Now we said, okay, I'm going to be spiritually strong enough and I'm going to take care of my stronghold. You're not strong enough to take care of it by yourself. You need divine power. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. This is the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward us. And he says you got to destroy a stronghold. You got to demolish a stronghold. You got to pull it down. Destruction. It's not enough to identify it. It's not enough to engage it. You certainly don't want to compromise with it. It says you got to destroy the stronghold. That's why reading, studying, memorizing, and meditating on the Word of God and spending time in prayer and praise is so important, because each of these activities reminds you of who you are not and reminds you of who God is. The more time you spend away from the word, prayer, and praise, the more highly you begin to think of yourself and the less highly you think of God. He says you got to spend time with the Lord. Look at Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. When the enemy comes against you, you need to realize that you have been fortified by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. When you are attacked, supernatural strength shows up on your behalf. That's why 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. But it's not just the Holy Spirit inside of you, it's the Holy Spirit who fights for you. The Holy Spirit fights for you. So when you're tired and beat up and beat down, unable to fight for yourself, it's the Holy Ghost that will fight for you. Look at Romans 8, 26, 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too great or too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He is a moan and groan interpreter. So even when you can't articulate it, the Holy Ghost will interpret it. Barry, Brandon's son, they were at the house, and Barry kept on asking me for something, and I had no idea what he was talking about. And, you know, I'm trying. I'm like, huh? I said, say it again. Okay. Barry, say it again. What did you say? And finally, me unable to understand what he was saying, my son interpreted what he said. Oh, he said he wants a snack out of the closet. Now I'm thinking, why didn't he just say that? He did. I just couldn't understand it. But thank God he had somebody who could interpret for him. Now y'all think I'm talking about Brandon and Barry. I'm really talking about you and the Holy Ghost and God. Because sometimes you may not be able to even get it out in words that anybody can understand. Is there anybody in here who's glad the Lord will interpret on your behalf? The enemy will do everything he can to try to debilitate you, depress you, and destroy you. You're in a fight, whether you want to fight or not. But thanks be to God, we have weapons in our warfare. And we don't have to fight a fight against the spirit in our flesh. But we have God on our side. Have I got a witness in here? Anybody glad that you have God on your side? Because if God is for you, Lord have mercy, he's more than the world against you. If God is on your side, the Holy Ghost will show up and keep you when you need to be kept. The Spirit of God will make a way out of no way. And God will hold you in the hollow of his hand. But you got to remember to lean in and depend on the Lord. The old song said, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. Am I right about it? Shun evil companions, bad language disdain. God's name hold in reverence. Never take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. And I'm a witness, he will carry you through. Yes. Won't he do it? Won't he make a way for you? Won't he keep you? Won't he protect you? Won't he bless you? Yes. God will, but you got to be willing to fight. You got to be willing to fight. You got to be willing to fight for your own spiritual well-being. For those of you who have become patriarchs and matriarchs, you got to fight for your family's well-being. Spiritually, you got to engage in spiritual battle. And look to destroy the strongholds that have been holding you back and keeping you down. Let's pray. Father, thank you. For today, we pray that your word has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people. Help us, God, to be not just hearers of your word. Pray that we would apply the word to our lives. I pray that somebody would leave here, God, encouraged. It's not intentional. Just things happen in life, and we may not be reading as much of your word as we should. We're not meditating on it like we should. We're not memorizing it or studying it like we should. We're not praying like we should. We're not praising like we should. And God, I pray that you would encourage somebody under the sound of my voice to engage in this spiritual battle, knowing that they can't do it without your help. Bless as only you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.